And we're good with the recording. Alrighty, I'd like to call call to order the board meeting for the River Run Water District. We're starting the meeting at 4:33 p.m. today. Public comment.
None.
No public comment today.
You're on your way.
Alrighty. We'll proceed to review and approval of minutes.
Before we do that, I'd like to make a motion that we defer the executive session until we can be a full meeting.
Okay, yep.
I'll second that.
All right, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor of deferring the executive session until, I want to say until the November meeting?
Well, or if it was sooner or whatever.
Okay.
Next meeting.
Okay, yeah, no later than next regular scheduled board meeting, so. And we'll confer with Chris on that. So, Sherry, did you vote?
Yes.
Well voted, okay.
Support that.
All right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, should the record show that Chris isn't here? We didn't even take a roll. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Alrighty, review and approval of minutes.
Man, that's gonna hurt.
So, are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes as presented, or do I have a motion to approve them?
So move.
Second.
Alright, call for the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Alrighty, minutes are passed. General Manager's report, take it away, Jen.
I'm not going to waste time on just generic discussion. I think River Rogue Elementary replacement speaks for itself. Well, one generator replacement or installation and the water main grant is coming up in new business. One thing I do want to tell the board and direct attention to is water operations. You'll see that for October to 23. Our revenue is down about $20,000, and that does hurt because October revenue is our highest revenue for the fiscal year. So the increases in water rates that people have been upset about, you can see their actions are they're using less water because August and September were very, very hot months in 90-degree weather. So that's something that we want to take note of, because that's directly going to impact the anticipated revenue that we were going to generate this fiscal year. Other than that, there wasn't anything that was outstanding in the production versus consumption. Our backflow testing, we're at 99.5%. We have three accounts that are having their backflows repaired, i.e. tested as well, and their suspense date on that is 1 November. District facilities tour, which we had today at 2:00, and I think that the commissioners enjoyed it. I hope that I covered areas of interest that everybody, found interesting, and maybe learned a little bit more.
For the record, I was very impressed with the way the facilities looked. They were chip shape. Yep,
oh, immaculate.
I used the word immaculate, yeah. Okay. And that's a tribute to you.
Thank you.
Very well done.
Thank you. The dental health care benefits, that's one thing we need to highlight in that we're having a 10% increase per employee for 2024. How that affects the budget, it doesn't necessarily, because again, I always budget for 4 full-time employees with medical benefits, and currently only 3 full-time employees use the medical benefits. So we have money in the coffers for that particular account classification. But next year, when we budget for the 2024-2025 fiscal year, we're certainly going to have to adjust increases accordingly.
Question. I think there's a typo there. You says.
And I did. You're right. And I meant to call that right. Per employee per month. I'm so sorry. I didn't catch that until this morning, and I was mortified. So I apologize.
Don't let it happen again.
I know. I'm sorry. I attended another Clean Water Revolving Fund, which is adjusting and analyzing rates to manage the debt service in anticipation of us getting granted that $3.1 million loan from Business Oregon, and the class was very useful, so that should come in handy. Were there any questions on the finances?
Do you know what the interest rate Business Oregon is?
No, I don't, and I won't know yet until we actually get the project approved. Okay. They wouldn't even give me a hint at it. Okay. I tried this 5-7. I have no idea, unfortunately.
Okay.
No questions on the finances here.
Okay.
Good.
All right, then that concludes my report.
Okay, let's move on to unfinished business. The first item here is Water Service Ordinance 2019-01 revision. So Janine had emailed this out to everyone previously, and it's included here in our packet as well. Did anyone have any questions for Janine on this?
Well,
in regards to the proposed changes,
there's a couple of obvious typos on the table of contents.
Well, I sent out a new one. Did you see with your board package? And the latest changes are in, highlighted in purple, things I went back and caught. And as you remember, at the last meeting, I had asked Chair Roth if we could table that. But I just locked myself away for 3 days and got the ordinance done. And so in reviewing it, since I sent it out to you all, I think the 2nd or 3rd of October, there were other things I went in and looked and re-scrubbed and kind of put a polishing touch on. And so those, when I sent out your board packages, those were annotated in purple.
I did have one point on page one, actually. Item Bullegs 5. I think it's misstated to call this the ordinance authorized a cross-connection program. It's really a cross-connection control program. And I would request that you insert the word control before program. Otherwise, it looks like we have a cross-connection program.
What does OHA call it?
Cross-connection control. That same verb appears on page 2 also.
Yeah, because they call it a cross-connection and backflow prevention program.
Yeah. Prevention or control would work.
Okay.
Does that work for you?
Yes. I was just trying to get the latest copy of it.
And thank you for highlighting each successive adding
really
a different
helps.
Color. That's very helpful. Yeah.
And it's important to understand, too, that under administrative rules and the like, statute allows you to make topographical changes without worrying about public hearings and the like. So topographical changes, though.
Right.
Topographic. I mean typographic?
Typographic, yeah. I'm a geographer, remember? Everything comes out topographic. Yeah, typos. And believe me, I've had to do that a few times over the years.
So page 2 was just the cross-connection control program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was it? Cross-connection prevention and
So the state on OHA's website, they call it a cross-connection and backflow prevention program.
Should we do that today?
That's fine if that's what the board wants.
That's what it says. Let's do that.
So yeah, cross-connection and backflow prevention program.
So that appears on page 1 and page 2.
If there's nothing else, I'd make a motion that we, as amended, that we approve Water Service Ordinance Number 23-01 as amended.
Can you hold off?
Sure. Okay. That's why I said
that. I'm not sure. I didn't. I read the whole thing. I read the whole thing.
Me too.
Changes the plumbing fixtures and water usage.
I have a question for Janine when she comes back.
Yeah, I'm not unfortunately going to be able to come back. I've got to look on this on my machine because I don't have. I'm sorry, I don't have it printed, and I don't have a tablet. Tablet. So let me get into the ordinance. So I understood the first one for the change of the cross-connection program. Okay, I'm ready. Go.
This is really a question for you, Gina. On page 14, mm-hmm. Bowlegs 4, we talk about meter testing for accuracy of the meter. Do we have a policy in River Grove for how many years we expect a water meter to last?
Yes and no. You have a meter replacement program that I implemented for 70 meters a year. So the average life expectancy in the industry is about 20 to 22 years. You don't want to do that life expectancy. So when I did the meter replacement program, I did 70 meters. We don't do 70 meters, we do 100. We exceed the standard. So our meters should be switched out approximately every 18 years.
That sounds good to me. I think that needs to be referenced into this Bullegs 4 in some fashion.
I would imagine that if a customer wanted the district to test the meter, I imagine that whoever they inquired with would tell them, hey, this is the last time your meter's replaced, assuming that it was under the purview where we've maintained those records.
Yeah, and what you're talking about, Larry, too, would be more of our policy than something you'd want to put in this in the ordinance. Yeah.
That would not be appropriate in an ordinance.
All right.
You want room to wiggle. You want room to be able to make adjustments.
I want to wiggle. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's not just something that...
Yeah, because this is dealing with the customer request as opposed to our policy when we're going to do it. So,
So remember...
That may have been the only...
And especially if, say, the house is going to be sold or something.
Yeah, and they want to... Or the other mortgage people want to... Whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm okay with it. I'm ready to... I'll second your motion.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
Good question, though.
Any further discussion? Okay. We'll go ahead and call for the... Okay. I'll call for the vote on that.
Let me come back.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Take your time.
By the way, your pumpkin bread is delicious.
Oh, good.
I'll have to get that on there.
Don't be eating it all. We have to give it upstairs so we can keep our trucks. Okay, I'm ready.
All right. I'll go ahead and call for the vote on this. All those in favor of accepting the ordinance as presented with the changes that were noted in our discussion.
Aye.
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 All righty.
So then you all know at the next meeting it'll be on the agenda, and then there'll be a motion. So what the motion is, so I want to make sure it's correct for the minutes, and or if anybody challenges this in court, you're making a motion to accept the final draft of Water Ordinance Number 2301.
With the amendments.
Right, yeah. With the amendments, yeah. Correct. And so then next month it'll be on the agenda, and then that's where it's publicized, and we will have to go 60 days for any developers or customers that want to make any comment on the, and we'll actually do the formal waiving of the reading. Because an ordinance requires a formal reading unless you do the motion to waive.
Got it.
All right.
So all will be on the next agenda. It's just a motion to waive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because there should be no discussion now.
Right.
Because
if you adopt it, otherwise.
Because if you start discussing again, then we start all back over step one.
No, not going to do that.
Okay. And then in the vote was, I'm sorry?
4-0.
Okay. Thank you.
4-0-1, I guess, because Chris absent.
Right.
So. Alrighty, the next item of business we have is Resolution 2023-04, signing authority for banking and other financial documents. So, I may speak for a moment on this. I emailed Chris, as we agreed upon in the last meeting, with a list of questions for the auditor, and I never heard back from her. I sent her a follow-up email, and I also gave her a phone call. So, she's not here right now to talk about it. So I'm not sure what we want to do, but I would like to have my questions answered by the auditor before I would proceed with it.
Well, I don't think we need to do that. I think we can proceed with this. It's a pretty simple motion, and you can still have your questions asked in due order, and if we have to revise it, we'll revise it. I'd like to get this off the oven shelf.
Sure.
And I'm totally open to when you get whatever resolution you want. If you want to propose alternate language, I'm certainly be willing to hear it. But let's get a motion. Let's get the measure in our procedures here.
I'd like to see it deferred till next month.
Why?
I mean, here's my thing, Larry. If I may, I talked to Chris, brought up my concerns. We collectively agreed upon a process for me to have my concerns addressed in time for the meeting. I drafted my questions, I sent them to her, I followed up with her, and there was no response. So, it's just, you know, I don't know.
Can I see what your question is?
Of course. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe we can all get a copy of that.
Yeah.
Chris, you want me to make copies?
Can hold it. What did I do now?
I'll do it front to back to save paper.
Oh, thank you.
So the only change from our current practice is that the general manager would be added to the list?
Right.
Okay. This is okay.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bring copies for everyone next time.
Excellent.
And one has to go into the board file since it's been disseminated at a meeting. Public's entitled to see.
You want me to email you a copy, Janine, or are you good with the physical copy?
No, I'll just include it in for the board package.
Okay.
But thank you.
Separation of duties, what did you mean by that?
So in terms of separation of duties, ideally when you have organization as financial responsibility, segregation of duties means there's one person that would like prepare the payment, right, and a separate person would authorize the payment. So part of like preparing a payment could also be maintaining the original books of accounting, right, like our QuickBooks, right?
Which is what Chin does.
Right.
So
in a perfect world, for those that have, you know, run a business or been in business for years, you're not going to have separation of authority. If you have a small district and you only have three employees, there's always going to be a crossover of responsibility and duties. And a good accountant, a good auditing firm, good bookkeeper, et cetera, takes that into consideration. So even though we have a full-time finance specialist, if Chin has gone out one day or gone on vacation and suddenly a check has to be signed or generated, who's going to do that? So you don't always have, and it is unrealistic to expect in a small business, a municipality, I don't care if you're a private sector business, to have a employee for all the different functions. In a real perfect world of finance, you would have an employee that does nothing but APs. You would have an employee that does nothing but ARs.
Right.
You would have an employee that does nothing but bank reconciliations. It would all be farmed out. You don't have that luxury in a small municipality. And that's why I'm sure when Russ gets these questions, if they've been forwarded to him, I would be anything but shocked if his answer came back and said, you're not going to have that. For most, intent and purposes, you should strive for that, yes, but it's not against the law. It's, conditions in which you work under, and you're not going to be able to have that. It would cost the district an astronomical amount of money to have three separate employees to come in and separate the financial functions.
Yeah.
It is because the general manager is an executive position, just like a board member, commissioner, just like anything else. General managers have executive authority, and most generally in any other municipality, company, etc., I don't care if you're private or public, have the authority to sign checks. I voluntarily asked to be taken off when I had to straighten up the finances in 2020 to 2021. And so they've been straightened out. There's been two audits that have happened that have occurred during that time frame with absolutely zero write-ups, zero adjusting journal entries, which I don't know if you know how difficult that is. We also went through a special audit with the $3.1 million that we had for the Reservoir 3 project. It went through a special audit without a single adjusting entry. I feel that it's quite proper, quite common, and again, it's a rudimentary function of the general manager to have check signing authority.
Okay. I'd like to emphasize something that I wrote to Russ in my letter. To be clear, I have full confidence in Janine to perform her job to the best of her abilities, but I want to make sure the district isn't making a long-term policy change or long-term policy decisions that are predicated on our competence level of staff and their positions today. Mm-hmm. So that's my concern. It's not with you, Janine. It's not with your performance as general manager or anything like that. I want to make sure that we are making a decision that is going to be in the best interest of our district long term.
Right.
So that's why I have these questions, and I feel like it's part of my due diligence to ask that of the auditor.
So what's the downside of this? It's another month before. Send the questions to. Whatever our policy says, I think we got supposed to go through the chair. In fact, I read the policy book the other day on something,
right.
And I saw that in there. Send them, and let's get the answers. It's not going to, it's just going to...
Okay. So would you feel comfortable if I took these questions that are presented here and just emailed them to Russ?
You're the acting chair.
How do you know that Chair Roth didn't do that? Chair Roth isn't here.
She didn't...
Well,
even if she did... She has a
I get the same answer. Russ would probably email me back and say,
she could have emailed the response.
Or Janine, call him and ask him if he got the thing. If he didn't, then we'll get it to him, is what I suggest.
Because Russ is super prompt. I've worked with him
yep.
in other areas.
So I would just say, let's let Janine check with him and see if he got that. If not, then we need to, then get them to him. But I mean, who knows what Chris has been going through? She may have them and just forgot about it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, that's totally understandable.
Yeah.
That's probably a good solution. Okay.
And I can send an email and then courtesy the board, as long as you all don't respond back to it, so it doesn't violate public meeting law. Russ, were you forwarded questions by Chair Roth? Because I would hate to see her... if she's already done that and she's not here tonight because now of an accident.
Right, yeah. And
that
I
would be able...
I wouldn't even send him an email. I'd just call him and ask him. It's not public record then. You don't have to worry about that stuff.
Okay.
Let's defer it till next month.
I'm going to also ask him when's he gonna, if he hasn't already, when is he going to get a response?
Okay.
Response back?
Well, if Chris, in fact, emailed him, which we don't know that she didn't, I would tend to side that Chris did. And she could have a response waiting in her email right now. We don't know. Could she have been did she have that and intended to brief on that
today,
tonight?
Yeah, right.
I mean, we don't know.
That's why. Let's find
and
out.
So,
and
so, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I think would be the proper.
Let's just find out. And then,
yeah.
It's good. Just another month. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll just table this till next month.
Super. And then, Janine, do you want me to send you these questions? Or do you want to just give me a call and I can just send them the rest? In the event that he did not receive them.
I would suggest to you that you send them to Janine and she sends them.
Correct.
Just because of the public record stuff.
Sure.
Yeah,
that'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. So I will send you a copy of these this evening when I get home from the meeting.
Okay.
So.
All right. Can we agree to move on to item 6?
Yes. Janine, this is your report, the backbone
so,
replacement.
So the general manager's annual performance report is now going to have to be tabled until December. The executive session is tabled till November, the performance report should be tabled till December.
Here's a thought. What if we had an executive session or what have you that was separate from our board meeting, and we had it the middle of next month. On a different day.
That's fine.
That way it would give us time to have the executive session, and that would also give us time to come back and make a determination on it.
Okay, before the next regular board.
Right.
Yes.
So next month is a short month because we have the meeting scheduled for November 20th, and I have vacation scheduled.
And it's Thanksgiving.
Can we do that? Is that
doable? And you would have to give me time to give notice to Lake Oswego Review, because the review has to be. So you guys can come up with a date.
Yeah, I'm not going to be available until at least the 20th.
The 20th is the board meeting.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I've got my wife's having surgery. I've got a Board of Agriculture meeting out of town.
Okay, that kills that idea then.
I would just, I would table, as you already did, and then table that till December.
November's a bad month for me. December, what?
Sorry, Janine. Sorry, this is taking forever. It's a known good time, I guess.
But need to have a motion to table to December.
So do I have a motion to table the general manager's annual performance review until December 2023?
Yeah, second.
Who first? Who
first?
Oh, no, I
propose it.
Oh, I suppose.
He shouldn't.
I shouldn't. That's why I asked, do I have a motion?
I think Sherry said it.
Okay.
We should table the discussion until next month.
So, motion by Sherry, seconded by me.
Okay. Call for the vote. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Aye. It's 401.
Now, new business. I want to hear about this.
Alrighty. So, you all received your proposal.
Thank you very much for including the map.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a great map.
It
explained a lot to me.
Good.
Tabloid printer, Larry.
So,
I paid extra for that.
You'll see the area that has been defined for to break down the project. This was option one that we discussed last month at our board meeting. Again, this is, I think, a very good start for making a meaningful impact to improving the distribution line. We know that money's limited in what we're going to get. I was unofficially told $3.1 million would be something that they would look upon giving the district for the bill funding.
And the program that you told me earlier today is partially forgivable?
35% if you qualify, yes. And there's nothing that leads me to believe we wouldn't qualify for the 35%.
So we would have to finance $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I don't know the interest rate. They weren't even willing to share that because things are, moving. It's, interest rates are changing. So I don't know what it would be.
When will we have completed repaying our first loan?
Which one?
The one that we had in effect before we did the Reservoir 3 project. It's a senior loan. We've been paying.
Yeah, but I can tell you right now. I just need to get the paperwork.
It'd be nice
so
if
one is
to
not
pay that one
done.
Off before we have to start paying.
Oh no, you're not going to be able to pay that off. No. Before this one. This one, if we get the project approved and it kicks in, we will be starting the project in spring of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and we want to have it finished. I'm thinking about maybe 6 months. I will say, well, let me answer this question first. You're looking at the loan for the Reservoir 3, landslide remediation. Well, let me give you that one anyway. That goes to 2051.
Right.
The one for the well improvement, that goes until 2031.
Okay.
That's like my mortgage.
So,
51.
That's exactly what they are like. Okay. Thanks for that information.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to raise rates to pay the debt service.
Correct. Definitely. Rates.
And we're going to have to hope that we maintain the current usage, too.
Oh, I think that'll
come. It'll come, yeah.
Just point of interest for my colleagues on the board. I have a colleague who was at the ASCE board meeting with me in Chicago last week, who just had a flood at his house when his 6-inch AC water line directly in front of his house failed. And it was a classic failure of an old 1960s pipe where a rock impinged on the barrel of a pipe and eventually broke through and the whole thing let go. And he had, 2 weeks earlier, had bought a used but very nice Mercedes sedan for $50,000, and it's been totaled.
Act of God.
Now what? Act of negligent maintenance on the part of the city of Medina.
Last year we were flooded with the piping under our house broke. We had to move out for 4 months. Thank God we had good insurance.
Was it an AC pipe failure? Was it our water failure? Or was it your...
It was their side of the meter, I think.
Yeah, just old pipes, cast iron and...
under the house.
So as you'll see by the improvement areas we picked, this was selected as option one because it holds considerable impact for our district between the upper zone, lower zone, the earthquake resistant ductile iron. It is the most logical area to start with if we have to break the project down. And then if we get this project done, we get it funded, or when we get it funded, optimistically when we get it funded, then we don't know what the status of the other projects are. Maybe then we can move our second phase of our project through as well. So I think we need to get the funds while we can get the funds. We have basically verbal approval that we can get this approved, and it's a win-win for the district.
Kind of low-hanging fruit.
Yeah,
it's...
He meets up with the other ductile iron pipe we have on Childs, right?
Yes.
We're going to take it all the way to the junction there.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it deals with some earthquake issues. So.
Yeah, and then we also have a project that's going to be starting this spring on Marlin Court of a new development being put there at the end of Marlin Court.
Where is Marlin Court?
Go Childs and go up to Pilkington.
Yeah.
Or keep going to your left and go down three houses and you will see Marlin Court.
Oh, right near the school?
No. So yeah, here you are. So Marlin Court's right here.
Right there.
So there's a house going in because there was a two-parcel partition approved off Pilkington. So Marlin Court's going in. They have no water service. So where you see on your map, Commissioner Magura, at 19175 Pilkington, they made a two-parcel partition. So a house is being built as we speak. It's being... So we have a pre-application meeting with them on the 1st, I do, for development. And I'm going to require them to come in about 125 feet to lay new main. So
just,
they can tie
like
in
the party, the
5525 and 5527 Childs. And then we're going to pick up about 200 linear feet. And so in projecting cost of this, I used to tell the board how much to expect a linear foot. So I'm going off what just the project cost that we did not have to pay for in front of Childs Road. So now when I brief linear feet, I'm telling you to expect about $950 a linear foot.
Probably going to be getting a two-lot partition on Don.
I already know that.
Okay.
I've already met.
Yeah.
I have reviewed, have not met. They're going to come in for a pre-application meeting.
And there would have been another one down there on DeVries' old place, except they can't get the adjacent houses to shut down their wells. And so until those wells are shut down, they won't allow them to divide.
Right. He's actually gone through us. He already has his partitions approved. We've already done the development and review, and he has everything in writing. What I think and why I tell the employees don't talk about our capital improvement projects, because if developers look around and see, they're going to target those areas and, you know, delay like a year
why
or two.
I pay for it? Because
exactly.
You're gonna, yeah.
So
yeah.
That needs to be close hold information. This, of course, is an open meeting. There was no reason to keep this close hold. But
how many homes there on Don are coming in? Were there
two?
Just two now, yeah. There's potential.
No, he tried for three, but then he went back and told them that he withdrew that and put in for a two-parcel partition, which has been approved. So you'll see the project total is $2.8 million. Do I think it's going to come into $8.8 million? Absolutely not, taking into the factor of $950 a linear foot. I think we're going to be right about a $3.2 million
Question.
When all is said and done.
Does if this project, as you just described it, goes, is there any of it that has to do where we have to remove the existing AC pipe, or can it just be abandoned?
Anything that falls in Clackamas County is going to have to be removed.
I thought it was the other way around.
Well,
no, it's not. If you develop...
county requires removal, the city says you can abandon.
Correct.
And how much?
So,
okay,
yes.
Okay, this is...
So, yes.
Where's the city line then?
So
I say the city didn't annex that property. They annexed the property, but they didn't annex the right-of-way on Marlin Court there when the city approved the partition and they annexed it. So that's why, otherwise it would be like Oswego right-of-way. Like if you look over on Benfield, two streets to the west, the city of Lake Oswego is responsible for a large portion of Benfield because they've annexed properties there.
Well, just looking here, this 1,700 linear feet on Childs Road is all in the city of Lake Oswego. So there, we'll abandon it.
We'll abandon it.
Yeah, it's on Indian Creek and a little stretch of...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. That's good.
And Clackamas won't grandfather anything in. Clackamas makes you remove it. And that's what drove up the cost for 5525 and 5527, because that had to be removed.
Yeah.
That duplex that Renaissance Homes built. But that's over, and yeah, they've finished construction.
Okay. Got it.
But they're one of the backflows that are yet to be tested, and of course, that's standard. We gave them 30 days because they just finished running the service line and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we've given them 30 days to get their backflows tested, because both of those lots have irrigation systems.
Okay.
Very good. Well, more comments.
Glad to see this get going.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about the impact on our rates with the debt service, but...
We don't have any choice, and when you compare to other places, our rates aren't that bad, so it is what it is.
Yeah,
they're very low compared to anyone else regionally.
Yeah, city of Portland, for sure. Yeah.
Oh, God, don't even go there. I've been working with the Water Bureau for a while now on something else, and those guys are nuts.
Alrighty.
Good report. Thanks, Janine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Alrighty, so do we need a motion to pass over the executive session since we don't wish to...
We already did that.
We already did that, okay.
You need a motion to accept the AC replacement program as modified.
Oh, really?
That's your baby. I'm going to let you do
the motion. New business, yes.
Oh,
you were expending funds, yes.
It gives me pleasure to so move.
I'll second.
All right, call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Can I vote again? Aye.
Aye, sir.
Larry has the encore.
And that piece of pipe on Charles Road, that's just a failure waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Especially down there with all that topography in there and the wetlands.
Yep, it's all swamp.
There's
one other thing that, as a resident of River Run Drive, just off the end of this area, that's really bugged me is the lack of a public pathway along Charles Road there,
mm-hmm.
and particularly on weekends,
yep.
We have bikers, we have hikers, and cars.
I've walked once or twice with my dog trying to go to the nature park, and it's a scary situation.
It is.
They, you know, what they need to do is a boardwalk in there is what
yep.
they need to do, an
yep.
elevated thing. And
yeah, and I think we need to somehow communicate. A boardwalk / sidewalk is in the park's master plan along there. It's just that... they're fixated on the safe routes to schools for every damn kid in town.
That doesn't even get you far in this neighborhood, Larry.
I know.
So,
just
saying.
But that's something I think that the neighborhood board we could talk about that and you know it's
well, particularly
you got to be talking about it where I mean for us to get that pathway along Pilkington, I remember going clear back to when Peter was still around. We worked on that for almost 20 years before we finally got it.
Yeah.
So,
well, we're going to take at least one travel lane on Childs Road mm-hmm. to put in this 12-inch water main. You're going to have a 3.5-foot wide trench, and then you got spoils and setbacks. You may have to close Childs Road for a while.
Might be a good time to do it.
Yes, my point. My point exactly, Jim. So somehow we need to go to City Hall, rattle their cage, and listen, folks. This is the time to do this. It's never going to be cheaper. To do this, tie the two projects together.
Well, I don't see what would be wrong with us just sending a nice friendly letter to the city of Lake Oswego saying, we've got this in our work plan, whatever, we'd like you guys to know that. This might be a great time to implement the park plan for the pathway there or whatever. And just, and we're not saying, telling them to do it. We're just saying, here's a friendly, you know, something like that.
Yeah, if the waterline project was a city project, there's a 7-year moratorium on street opening once a new waterline goes mm-hmm. in.
Yep.
So mm-hmm. it would push the pathway back another 7 years before he could do it. I like your idea of a boardwalk, but I don't think they'll go for that.
I think they're going to have to because of wetlands.
Well, no, wetlands can be mitigated, especially now since our Supreme Court has torn the guts out of the Clean Water Act.
That's the federal regulation. The state one is still there. It didn't take away from the state's ability to do that. And the state of Oregon has some of the toughest. Yet, no, I know for sure.
But I don't think that site is under state jurisdiction.
Yes, it is.
Why?
Because it is designated as a wetland on the Department of State Lands wetlands map.
I would say it's the Department of State Lands permit. Anytime you have wetlands or a swale, or don't ask me how I know about swales.
Yeah.
But anyways. So,
all right.
But yeah, if we think it's a good idea to reach out to the city, I would defer to Janine's judgment on that.
I think we should direct our general manager to prepare a letter to the city engineering department, tell them we have this plan and there's an opportunity to do something properly and in order. That's a Presbyterian phrase. To join the projects together and save money.
You know what? I wouldn't send it to the engineer. I'd send it to the city council.
I like that idea.
Or the mayor in the city, whatever. So
no,
city manager or something. Yeah,
I think if it's going to come from the district, it should go to the public works engineering. That's more of a professional courtesy, in my opinion. If this is like a Groundroots political thing where you were dealing with the neighborhood association or something like that, I would say show up to a transportation advisory board meeting. They're the board that kind of deals with administering the funds.
The only reason I was thinking about it is because we're an elected board, too, so it'd be board to board as opposed to staff.
That's true.
Yeah. And the reason I'm saying that is going to get more traction a lot quicker if the politicians know about it as opposed to the engineers thanks for the letter, and they stick it back.
You're exactly right, Jim. Yeah. I would think Jim's got the right path forward.
In which case, then I wouldn't.
I think the chair or the whole board should sign it. Then it's government to government.
Oh, that's even better.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Janine, you know what you're doing now?
I can help you with that. I've written so many of those.
In my long career, I think I've had one time where I had a nexus like that of two programs, and they gave me something else in my water. I was doing the water line, they gave me the street.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, it happens a lot with irrigation districts. That's why they're going to pipe, they're going to close in a ditch and pipe it. And so when they do that, all of a sudden other people come along and want to do something at the same time because there's all that. You know, it just makes sense.
Thank you all. I'll shut up now.
Oh, you're good. So, for the chair report, Chris is gone. I have two things I wanted to bring before the board. One of them is the kind of policy and procedure on executive session. I'm not asking that we deliberate it at this time or anything like that. I had some questions. I called the Ethics Commission and asked them.
Called who?
The Ethics Commission.
Oh.
And they gave me a staff advisory opinion and a response, essentially a summary of the phone call I had with them, just to answer some questions. I'm happy to share that with the board if others would like to read it, but it would probably also pertain to the executive session that we have that's proposed November.
Let's hear it before we have the executive session.
That's why I wanted to bring it up and talk about it. Okay. So I'm happy to pass a copy of it out for folks to read. I'm happy to email it, whatever we want to do, but I think that people should read it before we
have a discussion.
Okay. All right, Janine, do you mind if I email to you and then disseminate out to the board?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. So that will be email number two tonight. And then, well, I guess it'll be the third thing total.
I'm just curious that you would reach out to the Ethics Commission when the executive session was regarding employee relations, and I don't understand how an ethics commission has any advice, say, in an employee relation matter.
It's
so what am I missing here?
it's more under the subsection of 192.660. So 192.662B, I don't have it in front of me right now, but essentially it's complaints or charges or dismissal or discipline of a public officer. So without discussing the material, because it was in executive session, there is a complaint in the material. And there's org administrative rules that govern the requirements when there is a complaint that is put before the public body. Essentially, the subject of the complaint has the right to request an open session.
Right. Okay.
So I want to make sure that if there are complaints that are being presented to the board, that we have the notification to the folks that are the subject of the complaint, and that they have the opportunity to respond and request an open hearing if necessary.
Yeah. Isn't that in our policy book too?
I think it is, yeah, and it just kind of struck me as I was reviewing the material.
Yeah.
So that's why I called and asked, because, and I didn't know about the org administrative rule, to be honest with you. So.
Right, so the section 2B, which is to consider dismissal or discipline of order or charges or complaints against an officer, employee, staff member, or agent if they do not request an open hearing. So the letter that I did to the board in December, where no action was taken, was complaints that I had that the board did not respond to. So I don't know how we go from that.
Well, let's not go too far here.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
So I just don't know how we go from that to a call to the Ethics Commission.
An inquiry for more information. That's all it was. So I'm happy to share the copy of the email that I received from Susan Myers.
Okay, so I'm confused. So at the last board meeting, did I miss something in the meeting minutes that were approved? Was somebody granted that authority to reach out to the Ethics Commission and make a phone call?
I was not reaching out on behalf of the board. That was not done on behalf of the board.
Just a citizen.
That was just a personal,
okay.
A personal inquiry.
Okay.
Anybody can.
So I just want to make sure that the topic that was the executive session was not discussed.
No.
That's all I'm clarifying. Thank you.
No, it was not. It was just the procedure around the executive session and our obligation, or I should say, potential obligations and requirements of public bodies who do so.
Got it.
That is the context it was spoken in. So, to provide some color, if you will. So, I'll share that with Janine. She can send that along to the board. So, the last piece that I would like to bring forth is I have a resolution I would like to propose regarding the performance evaluation of the general manager. To date, we have not been timely with doing the performance evaluations, and so I would like to adopt a resolution in which we adopt a formal timeline and a procedure for administering it and delegate responsibility.
What are you proposing?
Here, I'll pass. I've made copies of these.
Well, it's not on the agenda, so we're going to have to put it on the agenda. So.
Okay. And like I said, I'm just disseminating it. I don't want to discuss it.
Yeah, no.
We can put it, and Janine, I'll give you a copy of this
right
as well.
But I just want to make a point of order. I told the board last board meeting that the Ethics Commission are coming down with new rules for public meetings. Mm-hmm. So unless it's an emergency, the board has to follow the agenda unless it's a bona fide emergency. Mm-hmm. And so these handouts that are being handed out, the public has not had a chance to look at them. They were not part of the board meeting packet, so they should have been brought in. You should have contacted either Chris to make an adjustment to the agenda. Just because you're serving as temporary chair doesn't give you the authority to break public meeting laws. So what you should have done, excuse me, I'm not done. I didn't interrupt you. So what you should have done was added these to an agenda under new business for the month of November so these documents could be properly cited and distributed out on the webpage. And the public, as well as the Board of Commissioners, all get them at the same time. Mm-hmm. That is the intent. And I also made it very clear how the board is going to go after people that prepare the agenda because that's what's going on. Boards are coming in and they're talking about things that aren't on the agenda, presenting material that the public has not had a chance to see. And as an extension of the board and as the general manager and the one who prepares your agenda and helps the chair, this makes me very uncomfortable. So you, if you're telling me you want this distributed,
no.
I'm telling you that it should be included on the November agenda.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine.
And it let's can go it, under new business.
Put it on the November agenda then.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't my intent to bring these up to deliberate or have any kind of discussion.
Right.
Just for information.
Board. It was just.
But you can't do that anymore in these sessions. You can't do information only. If it's not on the agenda, you are bypassing the public meeting laws.
Okay. Well, I better give this back.
Okay.
So if you want to forward me that, Commissioner Howell, and say, Janine, please put this on, you know, November's agenda, more than happy to.
Okay, thank you. I did
call
Chris on Friday to try and talk to her about this.
I understand.
I didn't hear a response from her. So
understood.
I'll bring it up.
And if you did, though, Commissioner Howell, just to make it clear, I don't know anybody who would consider this an emergency.
Oh, no, it's
and
not.
So, yeah, and
no,
so
no, no, no,
maybe,
no.
I don't know what's, what you didn't get a reply back, not sure of that, but yeah, we can definitely approve it for, the board approve this for the November agenda without any problem under new business.
Super.
Thank you.
Okay, well, let's do that then.
Alrighty.
Alrighty, I think that that is our meeting then. So we don't have any other open items on our agenda. We can go ahead and adjourn at 5:25.
Okay.
That was speedy.
Totally unrelated.